Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. You're welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives are being transformed by the preaching of the word of God. The gospel is the power of God to save. The gospel is the power of God to bring spiritual maturity. Also, the gospel has the ability to transform our lives. The gospel has the ability to renew our minds and to make us walk according to the will of God. You're welcome once again to Every Day with Jesus podcast. Hallelujah. And yesterday we started another study, what to do, or what should I do if and when I sin as a Christian. I opened yesterday's study by showing us the possibility of sinning, of committing sins as a believer. It's possible. Now, a lot of people have this religious belief or myth, mindset, that a believer cannot sin. Hallelujah. And then, when somebody comes to say, see, it's possible for a believer to sin, it's possible for a believer to commit acts of sins, they find that very offensive. And they begin to say all manner of things, you know, they think you are blaspheming and all that. But if you read through scriptures, you only need to just read through the scriptures to find out and verify these claims. The believer can sin. The believer can sin. And why is the believer, you know, capable of sinning today? Because he is yet to be in his glorified body. Hallelujah. While the body of the believer is not sin in itself, Bible refers to your body as the temple of God. Your body has the ability, it has a faculty for carrying out the will of the world. Hallelujah. It has the faculty, it has the ability to do the things of the world. Praise God. It has the ability. Your body itself is not sin. Your body is a lowly body. Your body is not perfect. It's not immortal. It's mortal. However, the body itself, Bible says, your body is indwelt by the Spirit of God. Your body is the temple of God. However, that same body can be used to serve unrighteousness. Praise God. That same body can be used to serve unrighteousness. If you can eat, you can commit the sin of gluttony. Praise God. Because gluttony is not being able to control your appetite for food. Praise God. If you have the ability to have sex, then you have the ability to commit fornication and adultery. It's simple. Because fornication and adultery are sins you commit because you do not have self-control over the desire to, you know, to have sex, which is legitimate in itself. So, but lack of control genders into fornication and adultery. So, because you have human nature, you have the ability to do the will of the world, the will of the flesh. Praise God. That's why the instruction is giving us Romans 12 verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you read Romans chapter 8 verse 29, Bible makes us realize that we've been conformed to the image of Jesus once and for all. That conformity is an instant conforming. We've conformed to the identity of Christ. However, we're instructed to not conform to the world. The conformity to the world is not in our nature, is not, you know, with respect to nature or our life. It's about a lifestyle. Praise God. It's about an attitude. It's about emulating the character, the ways of the world. Glory to Jesus. And I'll show you something at 1 John chapter 2. I've seen this before, but we're going to see it again. Very, very important. So the believer can conform to this world with respect to his conduct, behavior, character. Simply put, a believer can behave like an unbeliever. Hallelujah. A believer can behave like an unbeliever. That's why if you are to teach assurance of salvation, you can't be teaching it from the standpoint of behaviors. Because there are times when a believer, because of his association with the world has rubbed on him, the world has influenced him, and is acting exactly like the world. Haven't you seen believers who dress like the people of the world? Their fashion orientation is not different from what you find in the world. The problem is not with their nature, it's with their minds. They've submitted their minds to the influence of the world, and so they can't see beyond that influence. So that's why they are going to dress like the world. They are going to put on things that, you know, on a normal day, they shouldn't be found wearing such things. Praise God. Someone is asking me, is there anything like, you know, dressing like a Christian? Of course. There is talking like a Christian. There is dressing like a Christian. There is acting like a Christian. There is eating like a Christian. Praise God. Some folks cannot fast. They have no control over their appetites. Everything, food, everything, you just wacky, wacky, wacky and die. Praise God. There's the Christian attitude towards the things of the world, generally, a sense of detachment. But you know, you can be influenced by the world even in how you eat. Praise God. In the way you eat, you are so given to food. You just live for food. You live to eat for food only. And you're a Christian. We say, let's fast. You are sad. Anytime you hear fasting and prayer, you are sad. The world has influenced you. Praise God. So a believer can act like an unbeliever. He can be influenced to act like the world. Look at 1 John chapter 2. This is not very hard. So you don't judge a believer by the flesh. You don't judge him by what he does. The way to define the believer, the way to speak of the believer is not by what he does. It is by what the word says he is. Who the word says he is. What the word says he has. Praise God. So you don't estimate people by how they behave in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 2. You know, because if we do that, we're just going to be mixing things up. 1 John chapter 2. I remember somebody saying, you know, concerning a particular unbeliever, is a notable and popular figure. Unbeliever who was, you know, doing good, doing charity, and somebody said, see, this man is displaying the fruit of the Spirit. I said, that's the problem. That's the problem. You are judging by his actions, and then you've concluded that his charity is a fruit of the Spirit. Whereas a man cannot have the fruit of the Spirit without being in Christ. You must be born again to exhibit this fruit of the Spirit. But if you want to judge by your senses, then lots of atheists in the world would even be tagged as walking in love, tagged as walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Because you are judging by the senses. Praise God. The unbeliever, no matter what good thing he does, no matter the act of love he shows, he is not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit and is not born again. That is the same way the believer, no matter what depth of carnality he walks in, he is not an unbeliever. He is not unsaved. Praise God. He is not unsaved. But he is acting like the world. Why? Because he has been influenced by the world. Glory be to God. See 1 John chapter 2. I'll read from verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Have you seen? So a believer can love the world. And if the believer loves the world, what he will pick from the world is the attitude, the dominant attitude and motivation found in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. So you'll find the believer acting exactly like the world. Praise God. Behaving as though he is an unbeliever. If he submits his mind to the influence of the world. Praise God. The influence of the world. And you know, you don't need to consciously want to learn the ways of the world. Just be unguarded. Praise God. Just be unguarded. Don't read your Bibles. Don't go to church regularly. You know, church meetings. Don't company with fellow believers. Just be exposed to the world. Just be unguarded. Live life as it comes. Roll with everybody. Just be free. Be nice. Easy going. Hallelujah. Not fighting the good fight of faith. Not, you know, defending anything. Not standing for anything. Just be there. Vulnerable. Volatile. Hallelujah. Before you know it, you begin to act like the world. In fact, that idea of letting down your guard itself is worldliness. Praise God. Because a Christian knows. A Christian, if you want to act like a Christian, you know that, see, you must not let down your guard. You must guard your heart with all diligence. Glory be to God. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The man that does not guard his heart with all diligence is the man that would behave like the world. You submit yourself to the influence of the world. You just do anything that goes. Praise God. Isn't it funny today? You find believers saying, I'm a Malian. What do you mean? What do you mean? The content of the song is so raw, explicit, it's sad. Yet you find Christians publicly and boldly associating with such things. Why? Because anything goes. Praise God. Confused folks. Men who have submitted their minds to the influence of the world. Men who are not allowing the scriptures dictate and determine the things they do and the things they say, the things they associate with. Men who have let down their guard in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at what Paul says at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What I intend to do in this podcast really is to mark iniquities. Perhaps yesterday you listened to the broadcast or the podcast and then you felt, well, me, I'm still blameless. I'm sinless. I've not done anything wrong. I'm perfect in all my ways. Today, I want to mark iniquities so that when I'm done, you will fall on your knees and say, thank you, Father, for your grace in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, because if you were to mark iniquities, nobody will stand. 2 Corinthians 5, let's read this quickly before I begin to act as one of God's uncles in marking iniquities this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 16. Bible says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Another version says, from now on, we do not estimate people according to what they look like. We don't judge people by their appearance, what they act like. Hallelujah. If we were to judge people to be Christians or judge them to be saved or unsaved by what they do, many of us will get the tag unbeliever or unsaved at different times in our lives. Praise God. If I were to look at you right at the bus stop when you were getting mad at the conductor, the way you acted and behaved, I could conclude. Just from seeing the way you acted, I could conclude by saying, I could conclude you an unbeliever. I could just judge you to be an unbeliever, an unsaved person. But then I'll be wrong. Then I see you in the next minute praying in tongues, preaching the gospel, and walking in the power of the Spirit. You just got somebody healed. And I say, this must be a great prophet of God. He's a Christian. I'm missing the point. It is not about your actions. It is about what God says you are. If you have believed in Christ Jesus, then you are saved. Verse 17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are past, they will be old. All things are new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. So you see that there's a change, there's a newness on the inside, irrespective of your actions. Hallelujah. Whether your actions on the outside align with it or not, there's a change. There's been a change and it cannot be altered or changed. Hallelujah. This is a change that cannot be changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let me begin to mark iniquities. I said yesterday in the teaching that the concept of sinning or the idea of sinning with respect to conduct, lifestyle, attitude, behaviors goes beyond breaking some 10 commandments. Hallelujah. You have not committed adultery, you've not fornicated, you've not murdered, you've not you're not bearing false witness and things like that. So you are justifying yourself because you've been able to keep all those 10 commandments. You are missing the point. For the Christian, it goes beyond the 10 commandments. We have been called to a life in the Spirit. We have been called to walking in the Spirit. Aside that, there are instructions given to us specifically as believers. Things we must do, not found in the Old Testament, not found in the Ten Commandments. Things we must do. And you see, if you default in those areas, you can't be said to be blameless in your conduct at all. If you fail in those areas, you can't be said to be blameless or perfect in all your ways. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In fact, before I begin to state those things, let's see 1 Kings chapter 8, from verse 44 to 46. 1 Kings, some of the things said about sin. Is it possible to be sinless in all your ways? 1 Kings chapter 8, glory to God, from verse 44 to 46. Hallelujah. Bible says, when your people go out to battle against their enemy, whenever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. Verse 46, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them from their enemy. The point of emphasis is, there is no one who does not sin. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Praise God. Bible says, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. There is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Now you say, well, those are Old Testament guys. What do they know? Old Testament guys, what do they know? Well, let's see a New Testament person. James chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Hallelujah. James chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. There is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Praise God. And you see, when we begin to enter the true scope of sin with respect to conduct and behavior, you understand this very well. James chapter 3 and verse 1. Glory to God. Look at this from verse 1. Bible says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. We all, and the great apostle James, we all stumble in many things. Glory to God. Wasn't Peter found out to have been walking in hypocrisy? As an apostle of Jesus, he was walking in hypocrisy. Paul withstood him to his face. When he was with the Gentiles. He was eating with them. When people came from James, he withdrew from the Gentiles and was acting as though he was not eating with Gentiles. He was walking in hypocrisy. Paul called him out for his hypocrisy. A great apostle of Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, if it's about moral perfection, forget it. Nobody can beat his chest and say that he has attained a level of perfection in his life where he has never done anything wrong, or he can never do anything wrong, can never miss it. That's not the goal. The goal is maturity in the faith. The goal is to keep progressing in the faith. The goal is to keep growing. That's the goal. Keep growing, keep growing, keep growing, keep growing, keep moving. The goal is not to get to a point where you say, from today, I'm now sinless in everything I do. I'm now blameless in my conduct. The only blamelessness that is constant, the only perfection that is constant, is the one that you receive by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only one that does not change. When it comes to your walk, there are different variables. Glory be to God. Listen, in maturity, we outgrow things. Looking back at my life, you know, some 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, there are things I've outgrown. Obviously, I've outgrown some things. I've outgrown certain things. In fact, a lot. But I'll be myopic to be judging myself to be sinless and perfect in my walk, in my actions, in my conduct, just because of those things I've outgrown. Praise God. Because the Christian life cannot be summarized by a few habits here and there. Praise God. Christian lifestyle cannot be summarized by a few habits here and there. There's a whole lot involved. Praise God. And like I said yesterday, it is God that will judge whether we are perfect in our walk or not. It is God. So leave that to God. Your focus should be on growth, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward. That should be your focus. No apostle of Christ ever made a statement like, see, from today I become sinless. Nobody. This kind of error crept into the church by some general overseers and some leaders of church. Today, no apostle of Jesus ever made such statements that from today, I'm now blameless and perfect. I've never committed sin. Nobody said that, because the goal was spiritual maturity. And as long as you remain on the face of the earth, there will always be things and areas you have to improve on as a Christian. That is what is called growth. In fact, the concept of growth is unnecessary. The concept of growth is irrelevant if you will not outgrow, you will not keep outgrowing certain things. Glory be to God. If you will not be getting better in the way you do things and the way you respond to issues. Glory be to God. So let's quickly walk through a few things stated in the Bible. Romans 13, verse 8 to 10. I said that I want to mark iniquities. I want to show you how broad the scope of, you know, sin is with respect to conduct, lifestyle, your attitude. It's so broad that, see, if you escape one, you may not be able to escape another. Praise God. It is not God setting a trap for you. It's just that you are growing. That's it. You are a work in progress. Romans 13, verse 8 to 10. Bible says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, that means everything contrary to the love of God is sin. Everything, if you look at anything you have done, any attitude, any conduct, no matter how good it looks, if it is contrary to the love of God, it is sin. For instance, Bible says, he who does not work, let him not eat. Now, if as a Christian, you find somebody who is unwilling to work, who is lazy, and then, according to scriptures, you are not to cater for that person. And then, you are just so kind, you know, you are more kind than Jesus. You are so compassionate, your compassion beats the love of God. And then you just decide to support the person.
Though the scriptures are very clear and explicit on how to relate and deal with such men. Relate with and deal with such men. Praise God. Do you know, at that point in time, you are sinning. Praise God. You are doing a good work, but you are sinning because you are disobeying the scriptures. So the concept or the idea of sinning with respect to conduct and attitude is so broad. The scope is so broad that you can't declare yourself righteous in your works. You can't declare yourself perfect in all your ways based on your obedience. Praise God. You cannot. Because it is God that will judge whether you are perfect. It is God that will judge whether your walk and your work is perfect in His sight. Glory to God. So let me show you some examples as we close. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Acts 1:8. Jesus gave instruction to preach, to teach the gospel. Go into the world and preach to every creature. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you shall become witnesses to me. So, it's a commandment given to every believer to preach the gospel. How often do you preach the gospel? Are you even preaching the gospel at all? Many of the believers who fight eternal salvation are not even serious about preaching the gospel. They don't know they are already living in disobedience. Praise God. A man that is not preaching the gospel is living in disobedience to Christ. Those are instructions that Jesus gave directly to the church. Hallelujah. And of course, preaching the gospel is a way to walk in love towards the lost. So that means the man that is not preaching the gospel is not walking in love towards unbelievers. You are not showing them the love of God. Number two, studying the word. Bible says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So studying the word of God is for your daily sustenance. You must feed on the word daily. Do you do this every day? Some of you are glad for every day with Jesus. That is your way of making up for this. Hallelujah. How dutiful are you in your intake of the word of God? Do you read your Bible daily? Do you study the word? 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Many believers are not studying the word of God. You don't know that is living in disobedience already. That is sin. Hallelujah. It's so broad. Prayer. How often are we meant to pray? Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought always to pray and not to faint. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. How often are we meant to pray? Without ceasing. Men ought always. Pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse 11, continuing steadfastly. Continuing instant in prayer. Glory to God. Have you seen? So these are instructions given to us as believers. How much have you committed to this, to obeying these instructions? How much? Praise God. If you are not obeying these instructions as you ought to, then you are sinning. You are living in disobedience. Glory to God. You are living in what? Disobedience. Even if you keep the old Ten Commandments, you are still walking in disobedience. Because these are instructions given to us to obey as believers in Christ Jesus. Sorry, I said Romans 12:11. It's meant to be Romans 12:12. At verse 9 of Romans 12, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. How many times have we walked in hypocrisy? Praise God. How many times have we loved some believers and then we are walking towards other believers in a coded way? We say, you know, there's a way people code it today. They say, I don't have to like you. Praise God. You know, there are no instructions to like people in the Bible. The instruction is to love. And in that loving, there's a liking. Praise God. So you can't say, I love him, but I don't like him. There's no such thing. You can say, I don't like his attitude. But to not like his person, to not like him, there's a problem. You have to like him because you are brothers in Christ. Glory to God. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Have you seen? We are to prefer others to ourselves. Hallelujah. How many people do you prefer to yourself? Or you see yourself as more important than others? If this is what you are doing, if you are seeing others, seeing yourself as more important than others, you are living in disobedience. Praise God. It's so broad that you don't even know areas you are missing it. Many of you don't even know areas you are missing it already. You think you are so obedient, you don't even know you are already living in disobedience perpetually. Praise God. What about giving to those who labor over you in the word of God? People who teach you and instruct you and labor over you in doctrine. What about appreciating and giving to them? Do you know it's an instruction? Galatians chapter 6. Praise God. Galatians chapter 6. We are marking iniquities this morning. Praise God. Woo! Galatians and chapter 6. Bible says, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Look at what the Bible says. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. The one that is taught should share in all, should communicate in all good things with him that teaches. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at this now. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 9 to 12. Glory to God. Paul speaking, he says, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while he treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope.
If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. So, he says, it is not a great thing for those who teach and labor over us to reap of our material things. However, of course, like Paul, some of us have taken upon ourselves to not hinder the gospel by not laying claim to this right. Praise God. But then there are several Christians out there who have bastardized this. Praise God. There are several Christians out there who have become so irresponsible towards those who teach and labor over them. They don't even know they are walking in disobedience. Praise God. Now, this is not meant to shame anybody. The truth is, there are people who truly do not have enough to give. There are people who truly do not, you know, have what to give. There are those who really have something to give, but they don't even remember. They are just nonchalant about it. There are even those who give to their pastors and feel that they are doing them a favor. Praise God. Now, every time I attend something to somebody who was a blessing to me, who had been a blessing to me, I never saw it as me doing them a favor. Praise God. Why? Because the truth is, if you look at the way it is taught in the Bible, it's a right. Hallelujah. It's a right. Glory be to God. It's a right. So I'm not seeing myself as doing the person a favor. If I go to school and people impart to me secular knowledge and I'm paying fees compulsorily, how much more somebody that imparts to me spiritual things without charging me? Praise God. So it's just a token of appreciation. Now, if I'm not doing this as a believer, I'm walking in disobedience already. I can't be saying, oh, I'm free, I'm blameless. If I have something to give and I'm not responsible towards those who are blessing me in the word of God, and be claiming I'm blameless in my walk. Praise God. Now, of course, don't forget the reason. I'm not teaching giving. Praise God. Don't forget the reason why we're walking through this. That a lot of times we default in many areas, but we still consider ourselves blameless and perfect in our ways, which is very funny. Praise God. What about ministering to the needs of other saints? James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. If you see a brother or a sister destitute of daily food or cloth or, you know, what to wear, and then you say, depart, and, you know, peace be with you, depart, be filled, be warmed. Bible says, how have you shown the love of God? Faith without works is dead. Imagine. How many times have you turned your eyes away from the needs of a fellow saint, a fellow believer? You just acted like you were unconcerned. It's not your problem. It's not your burden. Bible says, bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Imagine. So there are many times we are defaulting in several areas, but we still consider ourselves to be perfect in our ways. What about forsaking the gathering of the saints? Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We have an obligation to gather together and to exhort ourselves. How many believers today ditch, you know, the gathering of the saints and just set it aside, are acting nonchalant towards the gathering of the saints, yet think they are blameless in their work? Praise God. Very amazing. What about obeying the leading of the Spirit? In fact, this one is so critical. In obeying the leading of the Spirit, leadings come in diverse ways. God leads you to pass through a particular route to your place of work. God leads you to speak to somebody. God leads you to show mercy to somebody, kindness. You turn away. Do you know that in the leading of the Spirit, sometimes you want to do good to somebody and God impresses on your heart to not do it? Praise God. Maybe somebody walks up to you and says, he needs money. Let me give you an example so you don't misquote me. Somebody says, he or she needs money. And then, as you are about to give the money, God is saying, no. You don't know the reason, but because you are so given to just following your senses, you say, ah, this is me trying to do good. And then you ignore the leading of the Spirit. Do you know you may be doing evil when you think you are doing good? For instance, a lady once called me. Somebody I was trying to, you know, disciple, called me one day. And as she called me, she said she was in need of some money urgently. As she called me, as I dropped the call, it just came to me that she was pregnant and she was about to collect money for her abortion. I mean, I had not seen her for some time. I didn't even know she was pregnant. So I walked to the church venue to meet with her. The belly was not out because it was still still in the early stages. So, but because of what I had heard in my spirit, I began to probe. I said, see, I'm not giving you money if you don't tell me what you want to use it for. As she was denying, I just looked at her and I said, you are pregnant. She looked at me and then she said, okay, how did you know? I said, so you are really pregnant. Wow. So I told her how the Spirit of God had told me, had instructed me
to not give her money because she was coming to collect money for abortion when I ended the call with her. Praise God. And then she was stunned. Praise God. Now, if I had disobeyed the spirit, if I had ignored what I heard in my spirit, do you know what? I would have given her the money and she would have gone to commit abortion with my money. Praise God. In my mind, I would have been doing good. So the leading of spirit is so critical. In many times, many areas, and in many ways, believers keep flouting the leading of the spirit. Yet, those are the people that consider themselves perfect in all their ways. Blameless, sinless. That's a joke. Praise God. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Let me close with this. We'll continue from here tomorrow. So, I'm just trying to show you why we must really study what to do and how to respond when we find ourselves missing the mark. Because the truth of the matter is, this is something you'd have to deal with in your life as you keep growing as a Christian. It's important. It is not us promoting sin or licentiousness. It is us, you know, calling a spade and dealing with matters and issues as they are taught in the Bible. Glory be to God. So tomorrow, I'll continue and I'll do a little bit of marking some iniquities again tomorrow at the beginning of the broadcast. Then I'm going to start teaching on how to respond to sin in your walk as a Christian. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, neighbors, colleagues, family members, classmates, schoolmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, spiritual songs, prayer, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.